Courage comes into effect when we attempt things that we think are beyond our possibilities. When we have some contemplation or some fear about approaching those things. It takes courage to get on a stage and sing. And to got to tell you, it takes a lot of courage to get up and speak sometimes. It takes courage to accomplish goals. Anybody who's involved in sports, academic to debate teams, or whatever it may be, it takes courage to get up there because it can be a fearful environment. And most of our life starts off being afraid of something and then accomplishing that. And so courage is vitally important. In the Bible, there are a number of stories about courageous people. Before I get into what I want to read here, in fact, we're going to read a whole chapter. It's interesting that when I look at Bible characters, and I love studying characters in the Bible, and I think to myself, there are so many courageous individuals. I can't imagine Noah when he was told by God to build his giant ark boat, and God didn't give any specific reasons exactly what was going to happen, gave him the dimensions to build it, and I can't even fathom the mocking and the ridicule him and his family took while they were building this monstrosity where it had never rained before. At that time, the world was covered by a canopy of environment that was perfected, and then all of a sudden that canopy around the world collapsed, and that's what brought the great flood. But before this, it had not rained. There wasn't an understanding of rain or flooding and those things there. And I can imagine all the mockery that took place when he was doing that. Obviously, when the rain started coming, the mockery went away. But he was courageous because in the face of ridicule, of doubt, I'm sure his wife and kids, even though they were on board and helping them and they were loyal, I'm sure that they had their questions too. Dad, what are you doing? You're kind of nuts here. I think about Moses and who is evicted from the nation of Egypt after he was found out to be an Israelite, and he came back to go before the Pharaoh basically 10 times to petition for the people to leave Egypt. And God kept reinforcing that with the plagues that came. But I can't imagine, you know, the doubt and of course, the ridicule and the grumbling even from the Israelites when some things were happening. But he stayed focused and he was courageous. Last week we talked about the Apostle Peter who stood up on the day of Pentecost and gave that great sermon, risking life and limb. In fact, he died a martyr's death for what he actually did for the gospel. But he got up on that day of Pentecost and he did not pull any punches. He shared what he thought about what happened to Christ. He put the blame on the Roman government and on the leaders of Judaism. He put it right there. I mean, he says, you know, he says, this Jesus that you crucified, that you did this, you know, he was courageous in what he was doing. And so many Christians after that, when you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where it talks about the heroes of the faith and their courage. But that last bit of Hebrews chapter 11, where it doesn't name people, but it says those that were sawed asunder, which means those that were out there propagating the gospel and telling the good news of Jesus were sawed in half. They were crucified upside down as Peter was. They were mocked. They were ridiculed. They were stoned to death like Stephen. And I think to myself, they're known today because of their courage. And whatever you're facing, and I'm kind of wanting to kick off the school year this way for you parents to challenge your kids, and if you're starting a new adventure in your life, it takes courage to go places in spite of the fears you have. And if you let your fears hold you back, you never know what you can fully accomplish. The story we're going to read, I'm going to set it up here. It's the first chapter of Joshua. Joshua is known as a man of faith and courage. Joshua would be a Hebrew name that we get the name Jesus from. It's kind of interesting there. Joshua was a protege of Moses. And up to this point, Moses had been in charge. Moses had led the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses had led the Israelites through the 40 years in the wilderness, where they had grumbling and difficulties and all these things. And at one time during this episode of Moses' life, he kind of got frustrated and didn't go exactly along with what God told him to do. And because of that, God allowed him to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness, but he said to him, "But because you fell at this one point, I will not let you see the promised land." And there was a transition of leadership. And this transition of leadership brought two different types of emotions. When you have been led by one person for 40 years and the generations have changed, there's a tremendous amount of confidence in that individual. It's hard to follow a success story. We in ministry, I pastored, I think, 5 churches in my lifetime, this being the longest, obviously, for 17 years. But in ministry, when it comes to changing churches or being called by God to another church, there is an old story that no pastor going into a new church wants to follow the most successful, beloved guy in the world, because you can never do anything right because that person. Sometimes if you follow somebody that maybe was not as popular in their congregation as they were when they first got there, you have the opportunity sometimes to lead. And I've told young preachers, sometimes God takes and brings a little turmoil near the end of someone's term in a church to detach those people from him, because first of all, they ought to be attached to God first, not to a man. Detached so that the next person has the liberty to lead. I've told pastors many times when they said, Greg, I'm thinking about leaving this church. It says, up until about 2 years ago, things were going great, and right now I just feel like I'm at the end of my term. It just seems like there's some grumblings, and I'm detached from the people. And I said, let me tell you something. That's kind of God's way of being able to move in the next person to lead the ministry. Don't be so down about that. It doesn't feel good. Everybody wants to leave beloved, but it happens. And Moses was the same situation. Moses was beloved by some people, but Moses also had grumblings from some people, preparing for the new leadership. And Joshua is the person that's going to take the nation of Israel from the wilderness of 40 years journeying all over the place. A trip that should have taken a few weeks took 40 years because of their disobedience. But now it's time to go into the promised land. And so when I read the text we're going to read in Joshua chapter 1 in just a second, I think to myself, when you listen to the words that Joshua is saying, you have to maybe think about the audience mindset. And I'm thinking the audience's mindset was somewhat discouraged. Because in the wilderness, although they weren't accomplishing anything, at least they were comfortable. At least they knew what was happening. There was a system of organization. After 40 years in one place, you kind of get into the rut or the groove. And now they're challenged to take and move into the promised land, the land of Canaan, Israel, to where God was going to bring him into the land which God promised to Abraham, their ancestry. And I'm sure there were some that says, and they did, we really don't want to go. We like where we're at. We don't want change. We don't want change. We got a change in leadership. We're not really happy about that. Joshua's a good guy, but he's no Moses. And now you want us to go into an environment to where for the last 40 years, yeah, we wandered, but we really didn't have a lot of opposition. Now we got to go in and start clearing the land of those people that God wants to move out of our land because he promised it to us. And so all these emotions flying, and so Joshua has to stand up and has to be the leader. And he wasn't a spiritual leader in a sense, he was a military leader. He stands up and he has to motivate these people, and he does that by talking about courage. And that's where we're going to pick up reading in Joshua chapter number 1 and verse 1 through 18. It'll be on the screen, or if you have your Bibles there or a Bible app. It says here, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will be extended from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Talking about the Ten Commandments and the other laws. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, we will cross the Jordan here to go in, and take possession of the land that the Lord God is giving you for your own. But the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the commandment that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. He said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives and your children and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of Jordan, but all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, and as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving after them. After that, you may go back and occupy your land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as it is with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you command to them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. And so the story, as I was telling you, simply is about the fact that they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And it wasn't going to be easy because they're going to have to go to Jericho, they're going to have to go to the city of Ai, and they're going to have to battle for these things. The great story of Jericho, where it talks about the fact of marching around the city with the trumpets until the walls came crashing down. There's an old quartet song from the 70s that I still remember. But first thing God does, God inspires the leader. God tells him, because I'm sure Josh was thinking, I'm no Moses. Moses had 40 years, and Moses is the one that led the ancestors out of Egypt. Moses is the one that came to the rescue. Moses has been their leader. And God tells him basically that you need to be not be discouraged. You need to be courageous. You're going to be successful. If you follow what I tell you to do, then you are going to be successful. Joshua turns around and tells the people the same thing. I want you to know we're going to go across the Jordan River. We're going to conquer the land over there. We're going to take possession. We are already successful because God has told us. And it ends with that little phrase there, only be strong and courageous. And so he gives them this idea that your motivation should be about the fact that you know what's going to be accomplished. Now here's what I want to talk about before I get into my points. The reasons why Joshua was able to tell them to be courageous, and the reason why they were able to be strong and courageous, because what they were entering into wasn't just an act of faith, but it was an act of promise. You know, sometimes we tell folks that, you know, if you just have faith and trust God, things will work out. But we need also to rest upon the promises. And what Joshua was telling them is that you're going to possess a land that was already covenant to you. And it was an unconditional covenant, which means this land is yours already. You're not going to go and try to attempt to take it. You're not going to try to go over there and see if you can get the land. It says this land is already yours. And he says, so you need to be courageous, not in the line of being faith and trusting me. You need to be courageous because the promise is already set. There's no reason to fear. There's no reason to be discouraged. There's no reason to wonder how it's going to work out. You got the last chapter of the book. The land is yours. And that's what Joshua is trying to instill in the people, is that they need to be courageous because they already know the outcome. Next week, we're going to start a six-week teaching on prophecy. And I think one thing that you're going to see in this series, and I'm going to try my best to be motivating your minds at the same time, not speaking over your heads, because prophecy can sometimes be difficult to understand, is a lot of things that we trust are not just by blind faith, they're by accurate promises. We talk about the end times and we wonder what are the signs of the end times. And the second week, we're going to talk about the signs of the end times. And there are a list of different signs that would take place prior towards the Lord's second coming. Some of them are through nature. Some of them are through understanding and intellectual. A lot of the technology and things and the advancement we have today are incredibly prophetic. Some deal with the nation of Israel, about where they are, where they're going to be. But no matter what, prophecy is not just blind faith. It is accurate information that gives us an understanding where we're at in the scheme of things. I guess I'm trying to say this, is that we need to have courage, not because we just hope things will work out, but because God's already said they worked out. We don't need to be courage because we're hoping if we do these little things here that the end game will be just fine. God has spelled out in His Word what happens. He has made promises and commitments to us. And those commitments always work out. I mentioned many times about giving. People say, well, if I give, will God bless me for giving? Yes, you can call it a blessing. You can call it whatever you want. But actually, giving is a covenant. God has not just said, if you give, you might be rewarded for it. God has said, when you're giving, you're faithful to God in giving, that there's a covenant made between you and I. If you support the work in the church that I've created, I have a covenant and a bond and an agreement and a contract with you to take care of your needs. And so when I look at all this, and that's what he was trying to tell these in Joshua chapter 1, he told Joshua, you be courageous, you're now the leader, but he also told the people, you be courageous because what you're about to attempt isn't a hope so. I hope we get the land, it's yours. You just got to walk over and get it. Will there be difficulties? Yes. But here's the interesting thing about it. The very first city they go to, and if you read further on in Joshua, the very first city they go to, God teaches them a lesson. Because he did tell them that there's some bigger people over there, and there's some giants over there, and there's some armies over there, and there's some cities that have already been established. They're on your land, and I have promised, so you're going to have to move them out. But instead of sending them where Joshua is a warrior and a military leader, he sends them over and he says, I don't want you to fight the battle. I want you to march around the city for 7 days, and at the last day, blow the trumpets and shout, and the walls will come down, and they will run off scared. So even in that, God was trying to say, I'm not expecting you to put up a lot of a war. In fact, if you have to fight for it, it's because you're not following my leadership. Sometimes we start going in and fighting battles that we think we have to fight to be able to succeed when God says, just step back. I a number of times we have to, in ministry, and I shared this with somebody recently, that sometimes when you have a situation that you have to confront somebody about, whether it be a personal relationship at work to where you're dealing with somebody who just really is antagonistic and you realize you guys can't work together, and somebody will come to me and they're saying to me, I need to talk to them. I need to talk to my boss and see if they can be put in a different division. And I always say this. I said, why don't you take it to God first and see if God doesn't work it out? Because as soon as you go address it, you're going to create more difficulties and stress and probably contention. But if you leave it in God's hands, see if he doesn't move it out. Well, recently I told somebody that they wanted to address something. They wanted to address somebody. They needed to maybe move that person along somewhere. And I said, you know what, give God a week or so. And they texted me a couple days ago, you know something, I just got a message, this person has been transferred. And I said, see, and if you would have addressed it, you might have provoked a problem, but you let God do it. Sometimes God just wants us to be courageous and rest in him. He's got it worked out. He's got the plan already ahead. And courage is not so much all the human energy we put forth. Courage is just trusting God has it all worked out. My wife and I will tell stories that of different situations that we have been in to where we felt like something had to happen, we had to take care of something. And I said, give it a couple weeks and you will see something will happen that will actually take it off our laps and God will take care of it. And I think that she has seen time and time again where she used to doubt me. Now when I say this, she goes, you're probably right. And sure enough, God seems to always intervene. So I don't have to be the bad person. I don't have to harm a relationship. God has taken care of it. See, courage isn't about being a big fighter. Courage is about resting in the one who has all the strength. And that's what Joshua was told to do. Rest in my strength. Tell the people to rest in my strength and go over there and be confident and be courageous. And whatever you're dealing with in your life, whatever job you're trying to pursue, whatever investment you're trying to do, whatever's happening, and maybe this may be the lull time. You know, maybe you're going through some difficulties. Let me tell you something. Just wait it out. God has a plan. You know, before there was the promised land, there was 40 years in the wilderness. And no one likes the wilderness, but the promised land looks a lot better once you spend 40 years in the wilderness. And I think sometimes, let me say this, sometimes the wilderness time is time of preparation because you're not ready for the success yet. Because you're trying to do it on your own measure, where God wants you to realize you ain't got no control of this. So the wilderness sometimes is God holding you back because you're not ready because you're still trying to do it yourself. And he says here, only be strong and be courageous. Well, let me give you five reasons this morning to be of strong courage, okay? And these are things that I just get into my mind. They're not comprehensive. There's other reasons, but these are some of the things I want you. This is kind of that what I call, I'm going to give you that coffee cup theology. These would be great on coffee cups in the morning, you know, where you have a quote or something and a scripture to motivate us. But the first one is this, because God is with us. God is with us. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 says this, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Listen to this, for the Lord, what's the word there next? Okay, not the Lord, the God. Your God will be with you wherever you go. And I want you to know is that sometimes we look at God as being an abstract thing, you know, the great God of the world. When God is telling Joshua here, he says, I just like I've commanded you, to be strong, courageous, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, because the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go. And that's what we have to think about when we're approaching things that we're nervous about and we're fearful about, is that we don't have an abstract relationship with God. We have a personal relationship with God. And we have a covenant with God. We are his children. We are his protege. We are his. We are bound to him. And so tells us to be courageous. All because he is with us. You are never left alone. Now, if there are times you feel distance, you always got to trace your steps, not God's steps. Second of all, because God has a plan for us. God has a plan for us. Acts chapter 23, verse 11 says this. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Let me set it up. Is that Paul, the Apostle Paul, St. Paul, had been constantly thrown in and out of prison. And he was given death sentences. And he didn't know what was going to take place. And in his desperate time, and he's praying, and he's trying to be positive, God speaks to him, and the Lord stood near him, and he said this, be courageous, take courage, because I have a plan. Just as you preached in Jerusalem, I have a plan for you to go to Rome. And that told Paul in a prison situation that I can relax now because I know they're not going to kill me here because God told me I'm going to Rome. See, God has a plan for all of us, and God has something for us to accomplish, and until that's finally accomplished, nothing's going to happen. You know, the Bible tells us that appointed unto man wants to die, after this the judgment. And this is not in your outline. This just came to mind. It's appointed unto man to die. It's an appointment. When God's done with us, we will die. Now, to me, it's the unknown. And sometimes we live in fear of that. But God has a plan, and God has a plan for us to accomplish. So we need to be courageous and have courage because, as he told Paul, you testified in Jerusalem, I'm not done with you yet, you're going to Rome. So all of a sudden, Paul's like, okay, then I don't have to fear anything here because I have a promise because God's not done with me yet. And I want you to know God has a plan for every one of us. Next one, because Jesus has overcome the world. I love this, is that, you know, we sometimes forget the fact that we're not in control of everything. And that sometimes the world can be a very intimidating place. It can press us. It can stress us. It can defeat us. But I want you to know is that Jesus has already overcome the world. John chapter 16, verse 33 says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Now that word peace is the same word we have the word confident. You can take courage from that. In the world, you may have trouble, and we might, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I was reading this, and when it says take heart, I'm thinking to myself, that has a lot to do with self-motivation and courage. You know, have comfort in this, have strength in this, take heart, I have overcome the world. And no matter what troubles come your way, we know that he has already accomplished and won the victory. In fact, we get in the prophecy, one of the things I've been putting on our email loop every day, if you're on our email loop, you know about 19 days ago or whatever it's been, I started putting a chapter of Revelation every day for you to read, Revelation reading, to get prepared for our prophecy series. What's good about it, there's the end of the book, and we know who wins. We know what it's accomplished. We know. We're not those that live in wondering what's going to be accomplished. In fact, what's going to happen is that folks hear about this series, and they say they're going to think we're talking all kinds of mystic stuff and mystery stuff. Prophecy is not about a great big mystery. Prophecy is about accurate information about what has happened, where we are, and what's to come. And yes, you have to interpret some things, but most 99% of what we're going to read and talk about is by literal interpretation is pretty clear. Now, I'm going to at times give you schools of thought. This is what I think this means. This is what three or four theologians might say. There are going to be, and we have room for debate and disagreement. But that's okay. That's learning and growing in the Lord. But there's going to be a new heaven, new earth. The pain is going to be wiped away. The tears are going to be wiped away. It's all going to be accomplished. And the signs of the time are pretty accurate, by the way. We're going to share those in week two. And to me, it's just take heart. We already know how it all works out. And life may stink right now, but the chapter is turning pages and the end is coming and we know how it works out. The next one is because nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I want to read out of Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28 through 39. I love this because nothing can separate us from the love of God. And Paul writes this: we know that all things in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. That's us. For those God foreknew, he did predestine to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestinated, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for all, who will not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charges against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long, and we consider as sheep to the slaughter. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor neither the present nor the future nor powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I read that whole passage, not just one verse, because if you think about that, that is a tremendous testament to the fact that what God says, that we cannot be separated from him. We have a reason to be courageous. We have a reason to have courage and strength. And just like what Joshua is telling his people, be of strong courage. Don't be discouraged. We're going to move forward. We have a promised land that God's already given us. It's a fact. You can call it faith. He called it fact. He says, we have it. We just have to go to take it, and that just that's the kind of courage that we need. And then the last one before we get to the walk away, because God himself strengthens us. If you at times get weak and get feeling discouraged and bewildered or whatever might happen, is God is there to strengthen us. And that's where prayer comes in. That's where meditation comes in. That's where rebooting our system and getting back and looking at what God has for us and saying, this is for me. It says this in the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verse 2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Isaiah 41:10 says this: so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Just words to say that God is going to be there with us, that he's going to strengthen us in times of weakness. And another scripture I think about, it talks about that we will have the strength wrapped up like the wings of eagles, that he is there for us. And so we ought to be motivated by courage. Every one of us have challenges we face each day and each week. Challenges we chew, doors we try to go through, opportunities that we're trying to see are there, and it can be very scary. But courage is not, courage simply is the ability to move forward in spite of your fears, your apprehensions, and even sometimes your self-doubts. Joshua basically was the protege of Moses. He was the number two man for all these years. And now it's time for him to step up and be the number one man to lead the nation of Israel. I'm pretty sure, I think he probably had reservations. He probably thought to himself, I'm no Moses. Moses did this for 40 years. How can I follow a man like this? But if you read the rest of the book of Joshua, you'll find he came into his own time. And it wasn't because of all his military understanding. It wasn't because of everything he acquired. It's because he had the courage to move forward even when he had self-doubt, even when he compared himself to his predecessor, even when he had fears, even when the reports came back from those that went over to the promised land and said, there are giants over there, there's great armies over there. He said, we're going forward because we're going to put our faith and trust in God. He said, this land is ours. He described the land itself from the Mediterranean to the desert. He says, we have no reason to worry and be fearful because he is with us. And he was strengthened by God all the way forward. So that brings us to the walk away. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is courage to continue that counts. And I think I've said it before, is two things you have to watch out for is success and failure. And you may say, I'm worried about failure. I have seen more problems occur in success. Success sometimes makes us be self-reliant upon ourselves. And sometimes failures are good because they help us get back to the basis and put our faith and trust when we know we can't accomplish. Anything that's man-made can eventually crumble. Anything that's God-made will stand. It's like the story of the house built on the sand and on the stone. Success is not final. Everybody in this room has had successes, and then you moved on, and people forget those successes. But failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts through our entire lives. Be motivated by courage. No matter what you're facing this week, no matter what the challenges and struggles are, or what the opposition is, or the negative things at work, or the negative family members, or whatever is happening, just remember this, is that God is with you, and he's never going to leave you. He's got a plan for you. He's overcome the world. He's with you. He'll strengthen you. So walk through and be courageous.